Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE Engine's immersive physics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the Kingdom of Humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice, your choice, that is. From the sword and shield-wielding fighter to the illusion-conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world, literally. Oh, and did I mention the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while your dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs or raging waters. Visit dragonsdogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's dragonsdogma.com to learn more.
I've been using HelloFresh for a while now, and let me tell you, if it was a staple in my kitchen before, it's a must-have nowadays. If you haven't yet, you've got to check out America's number one meal kit. Right now, get 12 free meals, including free shipping, when you go to HelloFresh.com/12face and use code 12face.
This is a Rooster Teeth production.
Guest question. Are you ready to should we start year two of Face?
Yeah.
I guess this is it, right? This is episode 53.
Yeah, but not to be confused with season two, which started a couple of months ago.
Yeah, no, season two has been underway for a while. This is year two.
That was a joke that actually happened. I think we like mentioned it passing starting season two. Have we started the podcast?
Yeah, we did.
I think it just started.
Okay.
The podcast has started. I don't think year two has started.
Okay. I just hit record, so all the whatever, if that bit was part of the podcast, I missed it. I did not get that from my perspective.
Can I ask you a favor?
Yeah, of course.
Can you fucking record?
Okay.
I feel like you're always the last one to hit record.
I am.
Yeah, why would you be in here and not recording? I hit record and then I join.
We've been telling jokes in here for 10 minutes and you never thought to hit record as all the laughter was going on?
Well, you left to get a soda. I didn't think that was interesting. Gavin called it a fucking work meeting, so I don't know why I'm supposed to record. Is it because you won't show up to our pre-talks so you can hear them? Is that why you want to
pre-talks? What's the point in pre-talks? If we arrange to talk, if that's all we do at the time, just go then. I don't get it.
Yeah, you
why
can
do
clarify
I have to be early?
Thing. Gavin, it's just nice to tie. It's nice to catch up a little bit before the show. It's a nice little conversation.
Well, start catching up, right? If it's like, hey, we'll record at 12. Catch up at 12. Start recording at like 12:10.
Why?
I can't be
early.
We're
just starting at 12:10.
Let me start the show.
Hello and welcome to episode 53 of Face. This is, I don't know, we're well into season two at this point. I think four or five or seven or eight episodes. But now this is the first episode of year two. So
this is season three.
This is, no. Season two is, we're still in season two.
Okay.
Episode 53, season two, year two. Although those numbers don't line up. I am Jeff Ramsey, with me as always, Gavin Free and Andrew Panton.
Hello.
How are you fellas doing this week?
Great.
I'm great. How long was season one and how long is season two so far? Do we know this? How long is the season?
Was there a writer's strike this year?
I don't know.
Year one was 52 episodes. I think season one made it into the 40s.
Really? Okay. Are we going to do like the animated TV show thing where like the first season is 60 episodes and every other season's like five?
Yes.
Just sort of bad like distributing? Okay.
Yes. Why does that happen? I feel like that happened with, I feel like I tried to start watching Family Guy, but I couldn't get any like coherency on when any episode was. So I just never watched that show.
I don't think you need, I think with a show like Family Guy, you just jump in wherever and it doesn't matter because it's just pop culture jokes.
But for organization's sake, I need an order. I need some sort, I can't just be spewing episodes. How do I know what I've seen and what I haven't?
That's why, I mean, it's an excellent point, Gavin, and that's why we at Face take it so seriously. That's why we have an overall episode count, and then we have it broken down by season, and then further broken down by year, which is different than season.
So that there are three... Count? That isn't written anywhere in the podcast app until like the mid-40s.
which is why we have to break it down into subsections. We are infinitely categorized here at Face to make it as easy as possible for you to enjoy the entertainment.
At Face. Like, yeah. It's a place that we work.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. At Face World HQ.
As part of Face World HQ, I want to open year two of our podcast with an apology.
Oh,
this is deep from the heart, Jeff. This is a very sincere apology to you.
To me,
I made fun of you last week for claiming that people didn't know what the DMV was. So I did a poll, got people's opinions. I want to apologize for the 5.5% of people who didn't know what the DMV was. Very important number. Very significant 5.5.
I would like. I would also like to point out, because I saw your dipshit little poll where you say, do you know what the DMV is? And a ton of people said yes. And then I went and I read the comments, and a whole lot of people thought the DMV meant other shit.
No,
like,
I disagree.
I know what the DMV is.
No.
What was it? Oh, there were so many of them.
There were
people
getting their jokes off. You cannot count the people that were trying to get their jokes off. You cannot put that into your statistics column. There were two types of tweets.
If those people
mainly
are trying to get jokes off and they're voting, I can.
No, there are two. These were the two primary comments, Jeff. The first one was people assuming I thought people didn't know what the DMV is and calling me dumb for it, thinking it was a weird Andrew thing. The second one, the second most common thing, people saying I live in a different country and I know what the DMV is. Everybody knows what the DMV is. But I wanted to apologize. I'm not trying to rub it in your face. 5.5% didn't know. It was a very valuable part of your story.
I'm telling
for
you,
the 5.5.
I'm not going to go back and I'm not going to run through all those fucking messages. But there were a ton of people that thought DMV meant something totally different. And I think that the very premise of the question is false.
How would you have phrased the question?
I don't know, because it wasn't my job to phrase the question, because I thought it was dumb from the... It could be the Department of Mexican Voters. It could be the Document of Macroviruses. It could be the Driver Motor League, which is totally different. Download music videos. What about that? D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, or Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia, which is what most people thought it was. I just saw that. That's a reminder. So many people thought it was DMV referred to the area of D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And they're like, yeah, I live there. I live in the DMV metro area. So I think that you can't just throw an acronym out there and say, do you know what this acronym means? Because it can mean a million things to a million different people.
I don't know, 5,000. It seemed universal. I mean, I'm going through the comments. I'm trying to find people that relate to you. Somebody said it's obviously the District of Metro Vancouver with like a shrug emoji. Like, that's a joke. I don't know if you want to count
that. I don't
think
that's a shrug emoji. They're like, I guess that's what it means.
I think they're all jokes that you're trying to claim credit for.
So Andrew, what do you think is... So 5% to you, 5% of comment leavers, you're saying aren't worth giving a shit about. What percentage would you start caring about?
I disagree. I was apologizing.
Yeah, what's the minimum percentage that you need to care about the audience?
I was saying to Jeff that it's very important to include that 5.5. I wanted to apologize on behalf of the 5.5 that I didn't realize existed.
Now, Gavin, I'd like to ask you a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being absolute sincerity, 1 being Andrew's taking a shit on the comment leavers, where do you think he falls in that statement?
Can I answer in fractions, Jeff?
Yes.
Oh.
0.2.
Okay. Okay.
Is that...
That's a decimal. one-fifth.
One-fifth.
One-fifth. Is that... Of one. Do I want to lower? Yeah. Like, I don't understand what that means. What's the scale? Is low, high?
Yeah, that's below one.
Okay.
That's brutal. Okay. That's not just shitting. That's diarrhea.
No, is one, but we don't know the scale. Is one good or bad? Is one very...
One's bad,
sincere?
Dude. We already
just
said that.
Outlined the scale. He just listed it. What are you doing? Are you staring at a bird? Are you staring at a woman piss out your window?
No, I'm reading the fucking tweets that Jeff is claiming exist. None of them exist. I was reading through them. Can I tell you something? I need to. A second. This is an also equally real apology. I made fun of you for the DMV thing, and I texted Gavin this later. We made fun of you about the Soho House. Once again, you not explaining the Soho House, and then you doing the whole thing, and then you explain the Soho House. I stopped listening as soon as you explained the Soho House.
I had to explain it to him after the episode.
Something happened, and I got distracted, and my mind just vanished, and then I came back to you concluding your Soho House explanation. I guess I'm not going to know what the Soho House is.
I like that as someone who's confused, your brain thinks, I need to do something about this. I need to do some work. I need to ask. So I'm not confused anymore. And then you ask and you're like, job done. And you actually don't listen to the bit after.
No, I think I was trying to pull up a photo or something. And then it's just, you know, your mind wanders sometimes. Jeff is familiar with this.
Oh,
happens to Jeff all the time.
Yeah, no, it sounds incredible. I'm surprised at how similar Andrew and I are in some ways. It sounds incredibly familiar. Like Andrew's making that statement to me, and I'm like, well, yeah, of course you stopped listening. I probably did too. Yeah, right, I went there with you. I'm not listening to this.
Oh dear, I was proofing one of the earlier episodes a few days ago. This was before the fire extinguisher, and I think it was one of the ones leading up to it. And Andrew used the phrase, "You don't understand the level of elaborate." When describing like all the stuff you needed to buy for the fire extinguisher, you just put it in 12 bags. What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? That was shit you could have had already under your sink. What's elaborate about rummaging around for bags?
There are two.
That's a great question.
It is a great question, and I have an answer for it. As I said, I believe last week, that wasn't my original plan. I was going to build a Dexter kill room, and that was very elaborate of like putting all the sheets up and like creating a door for it. And
yeah, but the thing is, like the constant downfall with all your plans isn't like a major obstacle rearing its ugly head. You're probably just sat there and then you just think, nah.
No, I couldn't figure out how to tape the ceiling.
Yeah, it's like genuinely the issue. Gavin, you didn't understand the level of elaborate, and Andrew didn't understand the level of effort. And they just didn't line up.
You couldn't figure out how to tape stuff to the ceiling?
No, it's not my ceiling. I don't want to fuck up. I'm renting a place, so I don't want to fuck up the paint on the ceiling. It just seemed like,
what,
I don't know.
What do you have in the fire? Do you have like white spirit? What's in the fire extinguisher? What do you think's going to happen?
What do you mean? It fucking shoots everywhere. It's a powder. It just goes everywhere. It'd be a goddamn mess.
Just
so
sweep
I needed
it
to contain
up.
It in some...
What color
what
is your ceiling?
Sweep the fucking ceiling? What do you want?
What color is your ceiling?
It's white, but it's not the same. No, it's fucking... No. That's
what
not
color
how
is
that
the powder?
Works. White. But it's chemical. Right. It's a... I can't just fucking... That'd be
problem
terrible.
Solved.
No.
It sounds like it took care of itself. It sounds like you could paint the ceiling really quickly for free.
I don't want to paint the ceiling, though. I'm fine with the current color of the ceiling. Everything's good. It didn't even go off, so I'm glad I didn't do... Well, it did, you know, like it sneezed. I didn't expect it to sneeze.
I got to be honest with you, Andrew. If you're trying to keep the integrity of this apartment together because someday you want to move out and get the security deposit back, I don't think the fire extinguisher is going to be why you don't get it. I think it's going to be any of the million other things you've done.
Yeah, no, that's fair. There. I mean, there's some holes in the wall. There's some falls. Falls have happened. I mean, yeah, I have other issues beyond the fire extinguisher.
Do you think it's for the best you live in an apartment? Like, if you lived in a house, would it just be trashed because you would care less?
No. No, definitely not. It'd be nice to have a house.
I think Andrew's a fairly conscientious lad.
Yeah, I'm pretty mindful, thanks. It's different, like, it's a weird thing where I don't, you know, if it was my house, I would have just fired the fire extinguisher without cause. Like, I'll deal with it. But other people's spaces, you tread lightly, even as a renter.
Yeah, and I feel like you often don't want to inconvenience other people. We've had evidence of that.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Oh, no, I've left water in the bath. Let me bail it out with a popcorn bucket. Levels of
that was more, yeah, I guess. Well, that was like, this is a problem I don't know how to solve, but I can't leave water. Yeah, so I guess that qualifies.
Yeah, but if it was, if you knew no one else was going in there that day, you probably would have just left it.
I don't know, maybe I could see that possibly being the case. It's mainly just like, I want this to be somebody else's problem and to not know that it was me who caused it was more of the motive when I was scooping the tub.
Oh, so like, if you could walk away cleanly, then...
Yeah, no, that was definitely more the mindset of I can't solve this, and if I leave the water in, somebody will be like, who did this? So if I remove all the water, then whoever uses that next will be like, how do I get this drain open? And it becomes their problem.
Incredibly honest answer you've given.
Oh, man. Speaking of inconveniencing people, Gav, I feel like I should make a statement because I got a couple of angry social media notices this week from people. Gavin and I have made, if you live in the Central Texas area, this is not our fault. Gavin and I have made no plans to hang out in the last 2 weeks. We did not cause this rain. I have made no plans on my own without Gavin since the last time I made plans. I didn't make this rain. I don't want this rain unless Gavin's been making secret plans behind my back.
No.
It's not me. So stop yelling at me on Twitter and social media about it if you live in Central Texas. I didn't do it. I stopped. Dude,
it's been stormy as shit again. And I guess we will go into this this episode. The Halo bet is still on. we've had some movement on it. Do we want to... Yeah, I guess at this point, people know that Andrew... We didn't really understand the bet. We gave Andrew another go at the level. And he did, yes, in fact, beat my time.
That was great.
So from when he says go, I now have a 24-hour response period to beat that time, which is, I think, 4:20 now on Outskirts. Last night, I was just thinking, I should probably, I might want to start my time now. I might want to just go straight into it because I've got a busy week. I've got like a solid 8 hours where I'm free. So I sat down. I just thought, yeah, I think I could do it now. I loaded up Halo. My power went out. the storm kicked me out of that.
This might be the change of year two. I might start winning bets. This is great. The universe is on my side. It's fucking up your power. Because I texted Gavin saying I was paranoid of that happening. And I know why I didn't now. This is great. I checked even this morning. I didn't believe you that like you weren't going to do a move. We talked about him starting on Friday. But
also, I realized I gave a 70% at me being able to beat you back. But my time was 4:22. I was expecting to have to beat a 4:21. But you've given me a 4:20, and I would like to reduce my percentage of confidence to about 30%.
Did you give him a 4:20 as an insulting meme reference on top as well?
No, it just happened that way. I did two completed runs, and the first one I tied him. And that was honestly a little bit devastating because I never even got close last time we did this bet. So first one I tied him, and then I just got lucky at a few different spots, and I was able to just get 4:20. I'm very happy with.
How long did it take you to take the time back?
90 minutes. It didn't take long at all from when,
oh, wow,
when we started.
Yeah. Dude, I was watching because this is the first time I think that he streamed it to everyone. You tweeted, didn't you? And by the time I saw that you were live, there were like 200 people watching. And I was like, oh, this is a thing now. The moment he beat it, the chat went apeshit. It was like there were 2,000 people watching. It was nuts. Everyone was very excited for him.
A quiet highlight for me was about 15 minutes before I beat it, maybe 20. I just tweeted or I texted Gavin, I hate you. And he replied, why do you hate? And then I beat the time. And as soon as I beat it, Gavin texted me back, I hate you. And I replied, why do you hate? I'm very excited about this.
So, Gavin, are you gonna stream your attempt to take the title back?
I'm not good at it. I'm no good at Halo. The only thing I've got going for me is my new techniques. So I can't give away the new techniques. So it can't be streamed, and I won't reveal my new techniques until the bet's over.
That's what scares me, is I don't know what his bullshit. He's cheating in some way, or he's got like some weird thing. You have
the way
you
Andrew is doing it is like a professional speedrunner. The way I'm doing it
is like an achievement hunter.
Yeah, exactly.
It's getting like ridiculous. I think the world record time for that level on Legendary is 4 minutes 14 seconds. So like we're edging to like elite territory as far as the time goes.
Are you guys playing it on Legendary?
Yeah, these are legendary solo speedruns of that.
So it's level. Not lasso or anything. It's just a legendary
solo.
No, it's
solo. Just Wait, legendary.
We're on legendary?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, it's kind of an important thing to know.
Oh, that is important. Yeah.
Yeah. No, how did you not know that?
I'll be honest, I totally forgot that.
How the fuck did you get your time? How did this happen? Your time was so difficult to pass.
What do you think my new techniques are? What do you think's going on?
I have no idea. You're cheating in some way. You're like either you have all the skulls on, which means something, I think, but I don't know what it means. Maybe you're like launching yourself with grenades super high. I think there's a propel one. I don't know.
He's like wedging a warthog through a gate and bouncing through it or something. Getting past the enemies.
Well, it's whatever he's doing is immediate.
He has no idea that it's legendary because he hasn't faced an enemy.
No, I will say this. My new techniques, they help me a lot at the beginning. They make it much, much harder at the end.
I can't wait to find out what they are.
Like watching you breeze through the driving sequence is really annoying to watch.
Well, I can't figure out your beginning part. The thing is, there is one method that I haven't been able to pull off, but Gavin is aware of, using a ship, a pelican, to like bounce off of it. So he could theoretically just focus his run on that and beat it. Last night, Gavin, I was so excited by the premise of you having to suffer through this level, because I've probably put like 6 or 7 hours into it at this point, and you haven't had to do much. But then this morning, I was just struck with fear of what if you beat the time and do it again. I'm going to be terrified until your time is up.
The other week when you were streaming just to me,
yeah,
I had it on it like in the corner while I was just doing other stuff, and Meg glanced it. And she was like, oh, this is the level? I remember when you were doing this. I remember how miserable you were. And I was like, yeah. Because it was months ago for me. And now it's just right back in my life. And it's a horrible feeling. That's why I wrote, this is the worst thing that could have possibly happened.
Oh, it's great. I can't wait.
I feel like there were about 200 people watching the stream. That was like, I feel like a really special moment for all of those comment leavers who actually got to witness that happen live. Because it wasn't really advertised by this show. It just happened to be on your Twitter. So that was probably a cool moment to have witnessed.
Not only was this not advertised, this is the fucking worst bet we've ever done. It's a 24-hour bet. It probably will end within 24 hours. It's taken 6 episodes to resolve. It'll probably resolve next one. It's like 6 weeks of this process of like starting, ending. I set a new time for you the day before the episode came out that declared me the loser of the bet. We're a mess. It makes no sense. Like the organization is just dreadful.
I would love to stream it too, but I can't have you watching it. And I know that the comment leavers will leave comments for you.
Yeah.
Telling you what I'm doing. So it's unfortunately.
I'm going to say I would commit to not watching.
Yeah, but you could.
You can't trust the comment leavers. And also, like, what Gavin's whole shtick is subterfuge and misdirection. So
that's all I've got.
Yeah,
I've not got any of the talent, and I've seen Andrew has it.
He's got to lean into that. Well, Andrew has ability. Gavin has other skills.
Where do you think you fall on that scale, Jeff?
At the bottom, is there like in the dirt? Like in the dirt next to like a rusty nail and a washer that probably fell off at some point. Nobody knows where to put it back.
Oh God.
That's why I don't make these kinds of bets.
Yeah. Why have you never been involved in a
well,
major bet yet?
Because if I made a bet like that, I would have to win it. Like I don't have an option internally and the amount of, so it's like when you have that thing broken in you, you have to wage, like, is the long-term damage to me going to be worth winning the bet? Like, whatever I have to do to make sure that I win the bet, is that going to be worth it long-term for the rest of my life? And it's usually no. So I have to be very careful how I go about these bets.
Okay.
Because I will do unhealthy things to myself in the process of winning it.
You have been challenged, though. It's not a bet, but there has been a challenge issued.
When?
With a certain beverage and some chuggage.
Oh my God, I forgot. I need to. Oh, Gav, I'm so sorry. I was going to do that for you and I didn't do it. I'll do it today.
You can do it now.
Well, what? I don't have, well, no, because we're in the episode and stuff. I'll do it later.
Wait, what's the bet?
Oh, Jeff sent me a TikTok recently of a guy. There's an amazing TikTok of a guy trying to chug a whole soda without burping a single time. And then he like freaks out, slams his head on something. But then just the act of actually doing that is so difficult. And Meg and I, which Meg wanted to make a video of us doing it, and we would send it to Jeff. And then Jeff decided he would also try, but I haven't heard anything.
And then I immediately forgot. So yeah. I will do it today. And I'm going to drink, because all I have right now is Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar. So that's what I'll be drinking today. And I'll fuck, dude. Ugh. Text me so I don't forget. I'll forget again. I really want to do it. I think I could do better than you did. I think anybody could do better than you did, honestly. That was pretty funny. Are you going to release that video?
No, that was just for you. I mean, I could do one proper. But I feel like if I do it, I want to move immediately onto a second can. I want to see how much I can get. Because I'm terrible at chugging anyway.
Right. Yeah.
And you kind of want to burp after like a quarter of a can, and it just builds up, and it gets to the point where you're just like trying to swallow over the top of air that's coming up, and it's really, really weird feeling. But I want to see if I can get through two cans. I think that'll be the ultimate goal.
Can it be any soda, and are we talking cans, like specifically just standard size?
Standard size can, and I think it could be any carbonated beverage.
Any 12-ounce carbonated beverage.
Are you in, Andrew?
Yeah, I feel like this isn't even hard to do. I don't understand why this is a challenge.
Send him the video of you and Meg doing it. the video.
I think I can do three.
The video, the TikTok that I sent Gavin, by the way, was very funny. But the funniest part is after the guy almost throws up and shits his pants, and he turns around in pain and slams his head into a garage door, and that's the real fucking.
He's like, oh, I don't know what to.
The cherry on top.
So when can I burp theoretically? Like, is it a three count after I'm done the soda and I've
as
done
you
it?
You hold it as long as humanly possible.
So, but like, at to what?
My
end?
My goal
like,
is never to burp.
Burp
7 days later. Like you can burp a week later.
Okay.
No, I think the goal should be, because I feel like one is doable. Like I'm on the brink of being able to do one. I think the ultimate goal is to get two full cans down back to back. Then you can burp.
Okay.
I don't think that's possible.
I think I could do
three.
Think
so?
I don't think that's hard.
You got any cans nearby, Andrew?
No, I don't. If I did, I'd absolutely try it right now. I don't have any cans of anything.
Damn it.
I have some apple juice. I don't think that'll
that's
work.
That's not good.
I don't want to listen to you chug apple juice.
Oh my God. I wouldn't mind. It's a great juice.
Why does everyone need a VPN? Well, first of all, your ISP can sell your information to ad companies and tech giants who can then use your data to target you with all kinds of ads for fake counterfeit collectible thimbles. And you're like, I know it's a counterfeit thimble. The price is too good. But now I got to go through the process of checking and looking and saying, it's not worth it. So I would recommend using ExpressVPN. It creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that your online activity, aka collectible spoon shopping, can't be seen by anyone. That business is between you and the other person on the end of that spoon sale, right? It's not anybody else's business, but you and the spoon salesman person. It's as easy as closing the bathroom door, which you should also do. Fire up the app, click one button. Rated number one by CNET, Wired, The Verge. It works on phones and laptops and routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. It's entirely possible that I use ExpressVPN when I may or may not buy collectible thimbles and spoons from mostly Europe and the UK. They're not as big here in America. But if I'm doing that, you don't know, because I'm probably using ExpressVPN. It's a game changer. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/face today. That's expressvpn.com/face, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/face. Well, if it isn't Father's Day coming up on the horizon, remember your dad, the old guy who wiped your nose and your ass for years? Well, we're going to ignore the nose part and we're going to focus in on the ass. Why don't you return the favor with the perfect gift for Father's Day? It's Hello Tushy. Bring your pops into the future with the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 modern bidet attachment. It is stylish, it is eco-friendly, it is easy to install, and it'll help him stop from flushing his retirement down the toilet. If your dad is like my dad was, he was annoyed whenever I spent any money on toilet paper or electricity. I can't help you with the electricity, Dad, but we can help you with the toilet paper. The Hello Tushy 3.0 cleans butts like a champ, but it doesn't stop there. It cleans itself with the Smart Spray automatic self-cleaning nozzle. Plus, every Hello Tushy bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty. If there's one thing dads love and preach at you constantly, it's get the extended warranty. Give the gift of a clean butt. Go to hellotushy.com/face to get 10% off plus free shipping. This is a special offer for our listeners at hellotushy.com/face for 10% off. hellotushy.com/face.
Did I tell you guys about jet skis?
No.
No, you're going to tell us about some shit, though, I think.
Are you going to tell me the origin?
Yeah.
Well, I'll talk about jet skis some other time. Jet skis are great. I just discovered
back
jet
to back.
Skis.
Do both.
I just discovered that they're a thing. I'd never been on one before in my life. And it was so fucking cool. Oh my God. Dude, I don't fucking care. I want to get some wraparound Oakleys and a fucking girl mullet, and I just want to be like, I just want to be a jet ski lake trout. I want to be like Kenny Powers in Eastbound Down in a fucking tuxedo on a jet ski. The other day, Emily and I were, it was like on a Sunday, and we were sitting around, and she goes, I'm kind of bored. Do you want to do something? And I was like, yeah, let's do something. She goes, let's go ride jet skis. And I was like, A, I don't know how to do that. B, I've never ridden a jet ski. C, like, where would you even do that? And I'm like, yeah, if you can figure that out, sure, let's do it. Less than 20 minutes later, we were on jet skis. Right on the penny pad. The 360 bridge, Gavin, they rent them under the bridge. You literally walk up, park your car, walk down. The damn thing is in the water. Some dude's like, here you go. Here's your safety briefing. Don't die. And you're like, thanks. And then I spent 2 hours.
That doesn't
hours,
sound like a business. It just sounds like a guy who owns a jet ski.
He got $200 off me real fast. And I rode jet skis for
How much is a jet ski?
They cost like 10 to 15 grand new. I looked them up because I want to buy one. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so much more than I thought.
Emily and I rode jet skis for 2 hours on, like, we went from dam to dam under the bridge, saw all the fucking craziest mansions, everything. It was awesome. And it's like a bicycle in the water. It's the most fun ever.
No, it
and
isn't. I found it's like out, your bicycle in the water.
It's like my bicycle in the, pedal. It's like my bicycle in the water. And what's even better it goes way faster. I thought we only rode one, and then we rode, like, I went first and she rode on the back, and then we switched. And I hit like 27 miles an hour, and I was like, holy shit, this is about as fast as I go on my bike, and that's dangerous. I better kick it back a notch. Emily got on. She goes, hold on. And I grabbed on her. She goes, no, hold on, asshole. And I go, what? And then she floored it. She hit 55 miles an hour instantly. Like, from 0 to 55 miles an hour. I thought I was going to die. A, she's a psycho. And B, jet skis, man. We all got to buy jet skis. I can't believe 46 years of my life without jet skis. Almost 46. It's fucking dumb. And I have wasted 45 years of my life not on a jet ski. That's all.
Interesting.
That was a good story, Jeff. I appreciate that. Was a good one.
Do you know that the jet ski was popularized by a James Bond movie?
Thunderball?
Yeah, something like that. It was like one of those Q gadgets. It's like, check this out. It's called the wet bike. And it's just a jet ski. And I guess they became like just normal. But it was originally like a silly James Bond gadget.
Well, it's
Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I told you guys a good story about a happy time. That was the most fun I've had in a long time. If you'd like, I could tell you the least fun I've had in a long time.
Yes.
This is when I texted you the other morning and I said, boy, do I have a 3 a.m. shit story for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as I've told you before, I'm sure you know, my dog Arrow, she does not sleep through the night, all every night. So she's in a crate and she's older. You know, she's 14 now. And so she has accidents, and so I sleep literally like with half. I sleep with one eye open essentially because I have to listen for Arrow in case that she barks. Because if she barks, she's telling me she needs to be let out or she's going to have an oopsie. And as everybody knows, a 50-pound dog having an oopsie in a crate with diarrhea means a day of cleaning. Yeah, and so. It's about 3:30 in the morning, whatever fucking day I texted you guys. It had just happened. And it was like 3:30 in the morning and I hear Arrow bark. And I just hear her bark once. So I open my eyes and I go and I listen again and I don't hear anything for a second. And I go, well, better safe than sorry. I'm already awake and I'm pretty used to this game. And if you're like, it's probably fine, then you're going to live to regret it, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So I get up and I go, I open the doors into the hallway, and I instantly get hit with the smell of dog shit.
and I go, oh, fuck. That. God damn it. She only barked once. Arrow. And I go into the laundry room where her crate is, and I open it, and it's like overpowering. I can tell it's a bad one.
And, oh, no.
And it's like 3:30 in the morning. The house is pitch black. So I go and I open the crate. And as soon as I open the crate, Arrow jumps out, like leaps out. And I'm like, I can't have a dog covered in shit running around the house. That's a nightmare. So I grab her as she's coming out and kind of pick her up and hug her. And by the way, I'm just in a pair of boxer briefs. Like, I have no shirt on, no pants or anything. I just have like a pair of red underwear on, and I'm barefoot. And I pick her up and she's like squiggling and fighting me, and you know, and I'm just like, and I carry her, I like fireman carry her kind of over to the door. I open the sliding glass door, I throw her out, I shut the sliding glass door, turn around, and go, okay. I walk back into the room. I can kind of see from the moonlight. I can already tell there's shit on the floor. I'm like,
from the moonlight.
Oh. And I'm like, and I kind of freeze for a second because, you know, you're like half asleep. It's 3:30 in the morning. You've got a lot going on. And you're like, where do I start? So I go, okay, I just need cleaning supplies. So I walk into the kitchen. I open the cabinets. I can't find any cleaning supplies. I look through the drawers. I look around the sink. I go into Millie's bathroom. I find some cleaning supplies. I come back. At this point, I'm starting to get a little lucid, you know? So I turn on the laundry room light, and I realize it's way worse than I thought. And I realize that I'm also now, I look at myself, I realize I am covered in shit, because Arrow was covered in shit. So when I pick her up, I smother.
When she was a little squiggly.
She and I just wriggled around in my arms, and she just coated me in dog shit, right? So I'm like about to throw up, and I look, and the crate it's like a horror movie. It's like an Eli Roth horror movie, right? And so I take all the bedding out, and I don't know where to put it. And I'm like, I guess I'll just throw it outside right now. So I open the door and I run out, because there's like an outdoor table that I can put it on. And I run out, and as I'm stepping outside, I see Arrow, and she looks weird. And it takes me a second, and then I realize, oh, she's weird because she's wet. It's pouring rain. Like, I was so half asleep and it was dark, I didn't realize it was raining. So now I'm holding Arrow's like crate bedding, like memory foam crate bedding, and it's covered in shit. And now it's covered in pools of shit. And I realize I'm looking at me, and there's like, I'm getting soaked, and there's just like shit sloughing off of my arm and my leg. And I'm like just like soaked. And I look at Arrow, and she's soaked, and we're both covered in shit. So I stick that stuff there, and then I like try to shake as much shit off as I can. And I leave Arrow outside because I can't deal with that right now. I shut the door, I go back in, and I start cleaning up the floor, you know, and I'm cleaning up and I'm cleaning up, and I'm going through so many paper towels. And then I'm like filling a trash bag. And every time I turn around, there's more shit. And then I realize that there's shit on my foot, and I've been dragging shit around. And then I realize if I'm dragging shit around this hallway, I must have drug it into the kitchen. I must have drug it into Millie's bathroom. So sure enough, not only was I there is shit on the counter. It's on the door where I got the cleaning supplies out. It's in the hallway. It's in Millie's bathroom. So 15 minutes later, I have now cleaned up all the shit that I can find that I tracked, that the dog didn't track. I tracked all throughout the house, right? And I'm sopping wet, and I'm miserable, and Arrow's outside barking, and I'm scared she's gonna wake up the neighbors. And I finally get it all cleaned up, and then I go and I'm like, okay.
Just imagining you looking like you just escaped Shawshank prison.
Yeah, that's gonna say.
Caked in
at what point do you become Andy Dufresne?
I wish it wasn't gonna get worse, but it is. So I go back into the hallway, and I'm like, well, I guess now I'll go get Arrow and deal with that. And I look, and we have a rug in the hallway. And of course, the rug is next to it's like a 10-foot long rug that covers the hallway, and it's next to the sliding glass doors that go outside. And it is waffle stomped into it. I hadn't been back in there since let the bedding outside. Waffle stomped into it is just like piles of the dog shit with dog footprints and my footprints, and just smushed into the rug, right? So luckily, this has happened in the past. So we had a nice rug there that we put in storage. And I bought this thing called a ruggable, which is like, it looks like a rug. It's on Velcro, and then you rip it up, and then you can stick it in the washing machine, and it's fine. It's a fucking lifesaver if you have dogs that shit everywhere. And so I'm like, well, I guess I better rip up the ruggable and start to put that in the wash. So I rip up the ruggable. This like I've got like this 10-foot rug that's Velcro and covered in shit, right? And I'm trying to like bundle that up. And then I think, I should just throw this in the washer right now. So I walk over to the washing machine and I open it. And in the washer is, and then it hits me, Earlier that night, Emily and I went on a date. It was our first date in a while, and she had a brand new dress, and it was this white cotton dress, and she had bought it for the date. It was beautiful. She looked beautiful. It was really cute. It was like a vision of loveliness. She was putting on makeup, and she walks out of the. She like is just put the dress on. She's like putting on makeup, and she bumps into something, and she drops her makeup brush, and it drops this. The brush goes all the way down the front of her dress with brown makeup everywhere. So we had like put Shout on it immediately and shoved it in the washer and washed it. So I look at that dress and then I look at me and I think there's no way I can touch this dress. I'm going to cover this dress in shit. There's got to be shit on me still. So I bundle up the rug and I kind of set it aside and try to out of the way. And then I'm like, well, I got to get clean. I got to get the dog clean. So I had extra bedding for the dog. So I remake her bed, get it set up for her that she'll have a place to stay. And then I go outside in the fucking rain and I wash the dog. And I wash myself with dog shampoo, just like I'm Gavin, using dog shampoo. And I wash the dog, and I wash me at 4 a.m, in the moonlight, in the dark, in my underwear. And then I don't have a towel, and it's wet outside, so I leave Arrow out there, and I come back in, and I dry myself off, and then I go in, and I get the dress, and I get a hanger, because I can't dry it, so I hang the dress. I don't know what else to do with it. And I'm walking through the hallway with it in front of me, like it's fucking radioactive, right? Because I don't want it to come anywhere near me or a wall or anything, because if I get shit on this dress at 4 a.m, I'm gonna fucking kill myself, right?
Like a game
after
of operation.
All of this, after all of this, and I'm slapping because I'm covered. My underwear is hanging off of me because it's all soaked with water, so my butt's hanging out, and I just. Look at, I'm a fucking mess. My hair's in my eyes, and the ground's going like slap, slap, slap when I'm walking. And right at this fucking moment, Emily opens up the bedroom doors and goes, "Why are you doing laundry? What the fuck is going on?" And I look at her, and I look at the dress, and I look at me, and I go, "Go away! Leave me alone! Just go back to bed! Get out of here!" And she goes, "Whatever." And she turns around and goes back to bed. And I hang up the dress. And then I put that stuff in the laundry and I get the laundry going. Then I go outside to dry Arrow off, but it's still fucking pouring rain. So I can't do that. So I bring her in. And the second she gets in, she fucking shakes every bit of water off of her, right? And we're in this tiny little hallway. So now the wall and the ceiling are covered in water and mud. And the sliding glass doors are now obviously streaky and covered in mud. So then I dry her off. I put her in a crate. And then I go and I spend another 10 minutes with towels drying the ceiling and the walls and the floor and the sliding glass door. And then I put all that in the laundry room. I look at my watch. It's like 4:15. I've been doing this for 45 minutes. I go into the shower in my bathroom. I turn off all the lights in the bathroom and I take a steaming hot shower in the dark. And I wash my entire body until it feels like I'm on fire from scrubbing so hard. And then I go into bed and I lay down. And I put my head on the pillow and all I can smell is shit. And Emily goes, "What's wrong?" And I just started crying. And I cried. I literally cried myself to sleep.
Oh, no. Oh. I like that Andrew didn't want to get white powder on his white ceiling. And you were dealing with that.
I don't understand how a guy who is almost 46 years old, who is relatively successful in life. I was fortunate enough to be able to help start a company that's gone on. I get to do what I love for a living. I don't have to worry about the bills or anything. I'm in a good place in life. Yet somehow, my life is so covered in literal shit at all times. How do I escape feces? Oh. I can't get away from it.
I love the you texted us. I went back to the text. You texted us, "Boy, do I have a 3 a.m. shit story for you guys on Thursday." The word to pain ratio is phenomenal. Like, I looked at that and I was like, that'll be interesting. What a horrible experience. You are a different person than you were since that point. That is
that
an experience that would change you. Yeah, that was traumatizing. That's awful.
I mean, it's just like, the whole time I'm laying in bed crying and thinking about how unfair it is, right? Like, how unfair life is. And how I'm like, and I'm just laying there going like, will there ever be a day when I don't have to clean up, when I don't literally have to clean up other people's shit every day, you know?
And I've seen you clean up lots of stuff, but you're at a disadvantage now. Like, there was that time where, I think we've talked about it on a face where your freezer turned off and you had to clean out rotting meat for like an hour and a half.
A full cow.
But at least back then though, you just went in and like grabbed an entire six pack and threw it on the ground and just started drinking. You don't have that anymore. You have to do this entirely sober and it's just feces.
And the whole time I'm laying in bed crying and whining to myself that it's not fair. I'm just thinking like, again? Really? Like, why does this keep, what am I doing wrong?
And I think a part of the sadness must be that you know it's not the last time you're going to do that.
No, dude. No, I don't that's know in that your future. It's not going to happen again tomorrow. It's like every night I go to bed and I lay my head on the pillow, I think like, what horrors await me 4 hours from now? I don't know.
Can you get little night nappies for dogs? Little diapies?
If it I'm wasn't sure this, can. It'd be something else, you know? It's just, it's yeah. always something. It's just, ugh. Anyway, so that's how I sleep.
Well, hey, you know what, Jeff? You found jet skis. That's in your life. That's the new light in your life. That's the balance. That's the counter to the dark. You have jet skis.
Well, here's the problem. Here, you know, now that I bring up the jet ski thing, I realize have been a little presumptuous in claiming no fault in the rain. I have wanted to ride a jet ski every day since we rode jet skis, and it has rained pretty much. Now that I'm putting two and two together here, Andrew, now that you said that, I have literally, we were supposed to ride jet skis yesterday, and it rained.
I don't think
it's a Gavin
Jeff thing.
I might
be
me in the fucking
thing.
Jet skis again.
It's a Jeff thing. It's a Jeff getting wet thing. It's a Jeff in the sun thing.
God! I just want to have fun!
I have a question about jet skis. You know how they just fly along, but they also shoot out that little stream of piss out the back.
Yeah,
is that for a function or is that to look cool? What's
no
that
clue.
For?
Mine didn't have the jets. They don't all do the spray out the back.
Okay.
Mine didn't have that. So I don't know. But Emily did point out, Liz, she's like, why does theirs do that and ours doesn't? No clue. I assume that there's a reason for it.
Hmm. Yeah, I can't think of it there. I'm going to Google it.
I don't know, man. I'm just realizing now that the only way I'll ever be able to find out is to jet ski again. And the only way I'm going to be able to jet ski again in Austin is on accident.
Why do jet skis piss?
I did the same thing. I went to search why does water and the autofill would shoot out of my mouth, which seems like a completely other problem.
Wait, what are people asking? They don't know why water's coming out of their mouth?
I guess when I read out why does water shoot out, the top thing was out of my mouth.
All right, I found a forum post. Question, why do jet skis pee? The first answer is no idea, but it's my main reason for not wanting one.
Right?
Oh, apparently... it's a visibility spout. Really? I feel like the actual jet ski is way more noticeable than the white mist coming out the back of it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And if you don't know, like if you don't see the jet ski, if Emily's driving it and I'm in the back, you definitely hear. Yeah. You definitely hear me going,
I think you've had your one good experience with a jet ski. I think you should call it a day there because... The more you do something, I feel like the worse you get at it. Yeah. You get confident, but you don't build up any skill. It's like the time you flip through the air on that Vespa. It's only going to happen on a jet ski.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're probably right about that. I should leave well enough alone. Also, my bamboo appreciates the rain. It's got to come back from the fucking winter apocalypse we had. But yeah. I just I gotta stop making plans. I thought I was in the clear for this until Andrew put two and two together for me. This is really annoying.
How would you feel about a day of plan the next time it's sunny?
Okay.
Do you think that'll prevent it becoming sunny again? The fact that the universe now knows about our spontaneous plan?
I don't know. It's interesting. It's funny you say that because Jack invited me to something this weekend and then I thought, well, that's a sure sign that it's gonna rain. So I don't even know that we could do a day in, day of. Like, fuck, dude.
Is Jack still a super fan? Did he retire?
He's not retired. He's fighting his way back.
Oh, okay.
He's a really good fan.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's. I don't know that I would declare him a super fan again. Just yet. But
on the chart, he's on the way there.
Yeah,
I'm on a jet ski message boards right
now.
To go deeper into this, I really appreciate somebody just calling it the vertical pisser, which is great. People try to figure out how to disable their vertical pisser. It appears to be a term.
Have either of you ever ridden a jet ski?
No, I have not. Dude. I've seen the Macho Man got knocked out by one. Macho Man or Hulk Hogan?
I think it was
Macho Man. There's a great Baywatch episode with like wrestlers, and it's fantastic.
Did you ever see the video of Kanye hitting the beach and throwing Kim off the fucking jet ski?
No.
Oh my God. Are you serious? Oh my God. Hold on. I will find it.
I'd love to see that.
Because it's like, it's crazy. And then you realize it's two fucking billionaires doing it. Oh, and you're like, oh fantastic. My God.
My favorite like weird Kanye thing is when he showed his game at like some, I think he was like, debuting a new album, and he showed a trailer for the game he was developing at the time, and people didn't cheer enough, and he yelled at them for it, and then made them play the trailer again so people could cheer appropriately. It's great. He's like, video games are fucking hard. You guys don't get it. You need to appreciate this shit. This shit's amazing. And he just ran the trailer back so people could cheer louder the second time. It's great.
Is this the video?
Watch this video.
Okay. any YouTube video that has raw HD video in the title is always great.
Holy shit!
Yeah, that's Kim cool. hitting the ground right there.
Why did he do that?
I don't know.
Is that really them?
Yeah, it's a famous clip.
I gotta watch that again. He almost killed that woman.
Yeah. He damn sure did.
Oh, God. They get some height. That's like probably falling off a roof.
Oh, yeah.
I think the thing about jet skis is they're clearly a lot more dangerous than they look. And a lot more dangerous than people think.
I think we need to have a face jet ski party next time Andrew's in Texas. When we can finally all be together, we're going to have the most fun.
Do you connect with the Tiger King guy on a whole other level now? Are you bonded with that man in a new way?
I'm embracing my inner Alabama, finally, after all these years. I'm telling you, it is, I get it. It's fucking fun. It almost makes up for all the times in life you have to clean up shit as it gets crusted into your body hair and into the crevices of your body so that you have to take a scalding hot 4 a.m. shower just to try to cleanse yourself of.
I can imagine getting myself into a situation. Remember that GoPro video of the guy on the speedboat with all the people around him, and they all just get like smashed around. It's one of the most brutal. It's weird. It's like, it's in a realm where it's like, it's, you want to look at it and it's a little bit funny, but then you realize that everyone on the boat got like seriously injured.
Yeah.
And it was probably the worst day of all of their lives.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
It's a brutal video, but it's just so fascinating to watch from a locked off perspective, people just getting rattled around. Like you can't really even see what happened to the boat.
Yeah.
They're just like, it looks like they're in a washing machine.
Do we know if the Kim Kanye jet ski video is that before or after the Bound 2 music video? Because it really changes the context
you think they
of
hard
that.
Cut from
well, yeah, it's just like the whole concept of like her positioning on that bike that he's driving. It's a different context within this video. It is hard for me to imagine that this happened and then they made that video. I feel like the Bound 2 video almost certainly was before this happened. I do not see Kim Kardashian being in any vehicle with Kanye West after this incident, especially where he's driving.
Oh.
Yeah. All I can see is the band
slow down.
I don't know. He cranks it up.
God damn.
It's just like a great moment in time. There was a time where they were both in the air flying off a jet ski. Like there was another great moment in time where light left the sun, flew across space, bounced off the moon, bounced to Earth, bounced off some dog shit and into Jeff's eyes. Oh, that's another great that's another great moment in time. What a journey.
Anything shitty happened to either of you guys recently?
Nothing like that.
No, I mean, that's a whole other level. I'm just all the like touch the sky. There's so many great Kanye connections. The accident. It's fantastic. I can't say. Okay, so I had one thing happen to me, and you guys have seen the photo for it, but there isn't context for it. This happened last week. We didn't mention it. I talked to Jeff about this. I have made a life-changing realization. It's a big change. It's great. I would strongly recommend anybody do this. I used to, when I would make hash browns, I'd use butter. This is a game changer, Gavin. Don't fucking laugh. This is a serious business. I have recently switched. The pan was too hot. I was like, if I put butter in there, it's just going to burn immediately. What do I do? Put in some olive oil. Greatest cook of hash browns I've ever had. Fantastic. I've switched from butter to olive oil. It's a great mix.
Hash browns from scratch, or you're just like heating them up?
Like frozen hash browns. Okay. Throw them in a pan, throw them in a skillet, whatever. Cook them up. But I'd always use butter, and the butter would burn, and you wouldn't get a good crisp on the hash. You want a crunch on it. So I've switched to oil. I can cook it at a higher temp. I get a better crust. It has been a game changer in the thing. Like Jeff and jet skis, I feel like I've wasted 20 years of my life cooking hash browns with butter.
Which,
huge mistake.
This illustrates, by the way, you know, I'm always interested in how we interact individually in our friendships, like in the pairs, right? And you guys have your Halo bets and stuff. Andrew's reminding me of this conversation. Andrew and I apparently have very long, very dry conversations about which oil smokes at which temperature and what is the best cooking oil.
We're talking about smoke points
of like safflower oil versus peanut oil versus avocado oil versus olive oil versus canola oil. Like, That must have been a 2-hour conversation Andrew and I had.
You're talking level of excitement similar to the conversation about what you saw out your window last week.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what I get from him.
Yeah.
No, it was a realization that the smoke point is like the culinary equivalent of miles per hour. You want a high smoke point. Like, that's what you're looking for. I'm excited about it. And avocado oil was the number one. And I've never used it. Jeff suggested avocado oil. I didn't even know that was a thing. I haven't done it yet, but I'm excited to try it. But anyway, it was late one evening, and I was like, you know what, let's make some hash browns. I feel like having a good morning. Let's start this day off right. I have some hash browns in the fridge. I pull them out, and they're shredded hash browns, and the entire thing is a fucking block of ice. It's just, you know, like where the ice freezes over the potato or whatever. It's like an iceberg. It's huge. And I'm trying to break it in half. I can't figure out what to do with the ice. And so I'm pounding it with a knife, but then that's putting holes in the bag. And so then the bag just doesn't become usable. So I thought, fuck it, I'll just put it in the pan as a giant icicle, and the heat from the pan will melt it. So I throw some olive oil in there. I put the entire bag of shredded hash browns, just this huge, like, 3-pound chunk of potato, put that in the pan, and it's like, it's not cooking very great, but it's like we're slowly melting, and I'm able to break it. And then I encounter this problem about halfway through where, I guess from all the water from the ice surrounding the potato, they ceased to be hash browns, and they just turned into mashed potatoes. And I didn't know what to do from this point. I was not prepared to make mashed potatoes. And I messaged the Slack. It was like 3 a.m. I was like, what do I do? How do
that
I salvage?
That looks disgusting.
Yeah, it's not good. It didn't look good at all. So I didn't know, do I put an egg in it? Do I throw some milk in there? Well, I don't know how to make good mashed potatoes. I'm not a big mashed potato person for making them.
Oh, so your plan is to pivot.
Yeah, at this point, the hash brown dream is dead, Gavin. There's no way that those just cease to be hash brown. I now have mashed potatoes, and the conversation becomes, well, how do I make decent mashed potatoes? What do I do here?
If you fry mashed potatoes, isn't that kind of hash browny in texture?
There was no fry happening to these things. Like, it was just, it was so thick. It was like solid, weird mashed potato. And I didn't know what to do. It was 3 a.m.
So much.
Yeah, so there's nobody I just messaged the Slack. I was like, I doubt anyone's awake. If they are, what do? How do I get out of this problem? Do I put an egg in? I don't know. I didn't put any eggs, and I had a few eggs in my fridge. Didn't put them in. I put half and half in there. That was my first step. I'm like, I'll throw some half and half in. That seems like a thing you would do.
Why?
Then I threw, I don't know, it's just, I feel like there's milk and eggs. A little half and half. Mm. Or not milk and eggs, milk and mashed potatoes. So I put that in. Then I threw some butter in there because I feel like that's probably another thing you put in mashed potatoes. put a lot of butter in. I put way too much butter in. And then I threw some cheese slices in because cheese, melted cheese is just good. There's no way in the melted cheese could make it worse.
For God's sake.
And I just kind of stirred it all up. And it was horrible. I didn't take a photo of it.
Oh no. You made me laugh and I pooped a little bit, I think. I'll be back. Oh shit.
What do you mean?
We were talking about how he's destined for shit in future. Like, that's not, he just shat himself now. And whoa. I'm staring at a frying pan full of potato and he's shit himself. Year two off to a great start.
This is a great start to
and
the
you're,
second.
It's like when Mr. Bean wrecks Whistler's mother, right? And he's just trying to like add shit to it. Why are you trying to throw cheese and eggs onto your mistake?
Okay,
why don't you
because,
start again, for Christ's sake?
What do you mean start again? From what? That was the bag. Where do I start from? I can't throw away. I have one bag. What do you mean? Like, just create hash browns? Just fucking summon hash browns. Just summon a bag of hash browns. That's great
I feel like
advice.
You could have dumped out some of the mash and just like got a nice little fry on.
I could, well, maybe, but like, as I said, I didn't know what to do. Gavin, when you're making hash browns and they suddenly turn to mashed potatoes, you are stunned. It is hard to process what to do next. I was trying to just go through the scenario. Are you okay, Jeff?
Yeah, I caught it. Yourself? I caught it. Yeah, a little bit. I caught it.
It was
you made me laugh right as I was farting and like it put a little pressure. And so I felt like a little hot squirt and I just clenched up and I ran in the bathroom and I was able to save the, it was clean. We're good. But it definitely was clean. There definitely was an escape. I clenched it. I kept it in. We're good. But I definitely shit a little bit there. As if, fucking why not? Shit the dog, shit myself, who cares?
I'll just say it tasted delicious. I could only eat a little bit of it. I think we recorded the next day and I felt so sick the next morning.
Is it because of the butter?
I think, it was just so oily and like cheesy and just awful. I threw 95% of it away, but I tried like 5%.
You don't always have to power through. You don't always have to add stuff and then still eat it. Like, you got to the point where it's 3 a.m. for me. If it's 3 a.m. for me and I've got a frying pan full of mash, I'm probably going to throw that away. I'm probably not going to try and make that into some sort of weirdo omelet and get it down.
Oh, I didn't. There's no eggs. I don't think it would be an omelet territory, but I got some milk in there. The official combination was milk, butter, cheese. And it was delicious, as I said, but not meant for this world and could not contain in anyone's stomach. It was dreadful. So
did
I
you
threw,
eat all
as
of
I
it?
Said. No, I said I threw 95%
of it
away.
Okay, sorry,
I just gave a little taste. I just wanted to see what it tasted like. And I was like, this is really good. Can't eat this. This is death. I threw
so
it away.
Should,
it was
so
like
should that
butter.
Should that be in the official face recipe book?
No, it should not be in the official. If you want to feel sick, maybe. Maybe we just put like a shitty recipe section.
Yeah. So you've learned that wet hash browns become mash.
Yes, I have. I didn't learn that.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a good life lesson.
Were you stirring it up though? Were you like fluffing it more into mash as it was cooking?
It was a weird thing where it was an iceberg, essentially, Gavin, remember? Yeah. So it was tough. Like, I was trying to just break it down and get all the potato hot so it would melt faster. And I think just in that process created the hash brown issue.
I think you were fucked from the jump because of the iceberg.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was not savable at any point.
Like, I think I needed to find a way to get rid of the water. Well, I'm like, maybe like I could have put it in the microwave for a little bit. Like I needed to melt. I needed to separate the water from the.
Yeah, I think you needed it in a sieve above some sort of collection.
I think it just the potato had just been it was just too soaked through at that point. I think that as it melted, the integrity of the potato would suffer.
Okay, maybe I'll try again. Well, I don't know how I'd simulate that again. There'd be next time I'm prepared, though. I'll know not to just put the whole thing in the fucking pan.
What are all the bits in the potato?
What are all the bits? Oh, the bits are it crusted on one side. Wow. Those are like crunchy crust bits when it was like flat. Because I tried to that. I thank you for saying that. You reminded me. I realized something was wrong when my hash brown started whistling. and inflating. Once it started to, like, I'd try to compress it to, like, get a sear on a side to, like, create a crust on it, and it would start to inflate from the pan like it was a balloon, and then so I poked a hole in it, and it just started to whistle, and I was like, this is going to
be difficult to save. You probably inadvertently created some, like, advanced mechanical engineering demonstration of sinkholes or something. Like, all this weird chemistry and shit going on underneath that must have been insane.
That's I'd recommend switching olive oil. That's the heart of the story. If you're using butter to cook hash browns, pivot to olive oil or some other type of oil with a high smoking point. Avocado oil, maybe. I haven't tried it.
I'm looking at this disgusting picture of it looks like someone just threw something into a pan.
Advice. Next time I make it, Gavin, I'll send you a photo. You'll be impressed. You'll be like, those are pretty fucking good. Those look delicious.
And I don't know what it is about the lighting in your apartment, but it makes everything look disgusting. It makes everything look way worse. It looks like way more dingy than it probably is, but that looks just rank.
Oh, it's very nice. Yeah, it looks great.
Ay-ay-ay.
I took several photos of that, too, to try to make it look as nice as possible. I was like, this is...
My favorite part is just the lump of it that's slightly too high up the fork.
Yes.
It's out of the forking zone.
Well, I forgot the fork was... I didn't notice that. I clearly was just like, I don't know what to do here. I need help. I would like to salvage these. How do I do
it? I feel like we get so much enjoyment from the additional snippets just in around your photos. Yeah. You just see other identifiers. I'm learning little pieces about your life just by the stuff that's in your photos.
Should we stop talking to each other?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I feel like this is a good episode.
I need to fucking take a nap after that. I'm tired. Eric wanted us to mention that we sell merchandise. And so there you go.
What do we sell? How many face merch items do we even have?
Well, we got the Ian shirt. We've got the face shirt. We've got the Russian fuck hat. I'm going off the top of my head. We got the Zimmer Zone shirt.
Child kicker.
We got the child kicker shirt. We got the waffle scented air freshener. We have the child kicker sticker. We got the sockets. We've had a couple of bats. There will be, I am prototyping the, always following proto, face socks. They're pretty rad. The two left socks.
Oh,
been digging those. So hopefully those will be out at some point. And
a classic from season one.
Yeah. Classic from season one and year one. I don't really know what else. Eric says 11. He says we have 11 faces to sell.
I feel like we covered all of it.
There you go. So there, Eric, I mentioned the merchandise. Ugh.
Oh, I forgot to even talk about how I thought Andrew died on while he was streaming.
Oh, well, hold on. Let's get into that real fast. We already teased the bullshit merch. Now we can talk. Let's talk about that. What's going on?
He was streaming. He like finally got like past this really hard bit. He was pretty much on par to beat my time. And then he just paused the game and went silent. And everyone was like, is he okay? And I thought I was just egging him on too much and making him too stressed. I thought he had a heart attack and dropped dead. I was like coming to terms in my head with, I've just killed him.
What happened was I just hit pause by accident, and then everyone was like, what happened? And everyone was speculating, so I just sat and read as people were like,
he went silent for like 50 seconds straight.
Yeah, it's just enjoying people being like, what the fuck happened? Is everything okay? It's great. That's fine.
I was probably 30 seconds away from calling you. If you didn't answer, I was going to call 911 and deploy people to Canada somehow. I didn't know how I was going to do it.
Good episode.
Yeah. Oh, I should also mention June 25th will be the next Face Break Shit live stream. So if you liked the first one, you can watch it again. Or if you didn't like the first one, watch the second one. You'll like this one. We'll do it better. Or if you've never heard of it, now's your chance to hear of it. Stop being a dickhead and watch our content. And this one will be good because I have a special card. I have special stuff for Andrew, and I have special stuff for Eric, and I bought special stuff for my little Gavin, and I even bought some special stuff for regular fan Jack, including something I haven't got for me yet, but I'm looking forward to as well. So hopefully this one will be even. It'll be the second one, so it'll be twice as good as the first one, which wouldn't be hard to do. And that's it. This is Face.
Bye.